ओम भगवते वासुदेवाय सर्वभूतात्मभावेन भूतावासं हरिं भवान् आराध्यापतुराराध्यम् तुराराध्यम् विष्णोस्तत्परमं पदम्
विष्णोस्तत्परमं पदम्.
It is very difficult to achieve the spiritual abode of Hari in the Vaikuntha planets, but you are so fortunate that you are already destined to go to that abode by worshipping Him as the supreme abode of all living entities. The material bodies of all living entities cannot exist unless sheltered by the spirit soul and the super soul. The spirit soul is dependent on the super soul, who is present even within the atom. Therefore, since anything material or spiritual is completely dependent on the Supreme Lord too is referred to here as Bhutavas. Dhruva Maharaj, as a Kshatriya, could have argued with his grandfather Manu when Manu requested him to stop fighting. But even though Dhruva could have argued that as a Kshatriya it was his duty to fight with the enemy, he was informed that since every living entity is a residence of the Supreme Lord and can be considered a temple of the Lord, the unnecessary killing of any living entity is not permitted. So it is very interesting to see here. Swayambhu Manu is speaking to Dhruva Maharaj, the philosophy of the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, in whom all living beings are dwelling, who is the shelter of all living beings, by whom all living beings are maintained, and who is the ultimate or only worshipable object of all living beings. Now he's speaking this philosophy to Dhruva Maharaj with the aim of stopping him from fighting. The same philosophy was spoken by Lord Krishna to Arjuna with the aim to induce him to fight. So what does this mean? Does this mean that we can take the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and use it to justify whatever we want to do? Of course, in the modern age, many people, they do that. They take the Bhagavad Gita or any Shastra and they use it to justify whatever they want to do. It's not a new thing. Even we find near the beginning of Kali Yuga that many people taking the Vedic injunction for killing animals. There is such a Vedic injunction. They would take that as a wholesale license to slaughter animals. Therefore, Lord Buddha appeared to stop that. So the real thing is not that we can just interpret the Vedic injunctions to do whatever we want. In that case, there is no need for any Vedic injunctions. If simply the ultimate philosophy is, as has been propagated by one famous rascal, Jatama Tatapa, whatever you like, it's okay. As many paths there are, as many opinions there are, that many paths. So you also have an opinion? Alright, whatever you like, it's okay. But if everything is okay, then there's no need for scripture. If there's no clear-cut distinction between what is proper and what is improper, then there's no need for scripture. Just like the demons, they say. Pravrittincha, nivrittincha, janana vidur asara. What is proper action, what is improper action? Those who are demoniac, they make no distinction. They don't know. There's no such idea. What is proper, what is improper. Therefore we see, those who are demoniac, they have the idea that whatever you think is alright, that's alright. Morality means whatever we think is okay, that's alright. Just like abortion, for instance, just as an example. They think, well, if you think it's okay. But if you don't, it's not okay. But they don't know that there is an absolute standard. That absolute standard is that which is given by God. We are under the control of the laws of God. That we cannot deny. Even if we verbally deny, physically we cannot deny. We are under the control. Just like in the state, we may verbally deny the laws of the state, but if we violate them, we will be punished. If we drive on the wrong side of the road, we'll be punished. We may, when the policeman comes to arrest us, we may say, I don't believe in your law. I don't care for your law. And he says, we don't care for you, what you think. We're in control. We're more powerful than you. And therefore, we're going to punish you. So in the same way, we may not care for God's law, but God's law is there. We may, all our life, we may say, I don't care for God. But we're under the control of God, directly or indirectly. We may say, I don't care for the laws of God. And when we get toothache or headache, we can't say, well, I don't care for the laws of God. We're under the control. We're all controlled. When death comes, we cannot say, I don't believe in it. We may not believe in death, but death believes in us. He comes to get us. So we are under the control of God that we cannot escape. Therefore, we should understand, what is this Shastra Vidhi? That means we have some independence. Control is there and independence is also there. And independence is there means we have limited independence, which we can use or misuse. And the Shastra teaches us how to use properly. Now, how is it that Swayambhuva Manu is using the same knowledge of the Absolute Truth to stop Dhruva Maharaj fighting, whereas Arjuna received the same information from Krishna to induce him to fight? So the point here is not, ultimately, it's not to fight or not to fight. Of course, Krishna was inducing Arjuna to fight, but if simply he was inducing Arjuna to fight, then Bhagavad Gita wouldn't have been such a important and prominent book of spiritual knowledge if that was the only business. If the only business was a political decision, whether to fight or not, then Bhagavad Gita wouldn't have been worshipped as it is. The point is that the real question was whether Arjuna is going to comply with the will of the Supreme Lord or not. So in this case, the will of the Supreme Lord was that he should fight. Here we see the will of the Supreme Lord as represented by Swayambhuva Manu, who is one of the great authorities on devotional service. When he speaks, it is as good as Lord Vishnu speaking. So in this situation, he's saying that Dhruva Maharaj, he can better satisfy Lord Hari by stopping this fight. So that is the point. The philosophy is there. How it is applied in every circumstance may be different. But the point is that we have to satisfy Lord Vishnu. Now this brings us to a very interesting point again. How to practically satisfy Lord Vishnu? Because Shastra is there. And even in the Shastra, different things may be said in different places, because the basic philosophy that is the same. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are all his servants. We are meant to serve him. And the basic direction is there, how to serve him. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Arjanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. The nine processes of devotional service summarized as hearing about Lord Vishnu, chanting about him, remembering him, serving his lotus feet, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, worshipping in the temple, offering prayers, obeying his orders, becoming his friend, and surrendering everything to him. So that is the basic process. But then in the details, there may be difference. Just like we see in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it is mentioned so many different small rules and regulations. Sometimes people criticize, why are you eating such and such a food? In Hari Bhakti Vilas, it is banned. Or why are you not doing this one? So that we have to understand. Actually, Hari Bhakti, this is just an example. Hari Bhakti Vilas, that is compiled by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, taking so many rules and regulations from Shastras, which are useful for devotees. But that was also compiled at a time and in a place, namely India, and in a circumstance where people were much accustomed to follow minutely many, many rules and regulations. So that time and that circumstance, that has changed. Nowadays, in the modern age, the situation is different. just like we're speaking here. Now, according to the strict rules of Shastra, anyway, everyone here is already completely finished with spiritual work. Because according to the strict rules and regulations, anyway, you shouldn't cross the sea. What to speak of living in the Mlechadesh and intimately associating with and working with people who are eating meat and so many things. And what to speak of that? Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Everyone is born in Kali Yuga as a Shudra. Of course, here we have so many people in the Gulf, it seems a lot of people from Brahmin backgrounds are coming. But then who is a Brahmin? Who is strictly following? So practically everyone is disqualified anyway. So we may be thinking to follow so many rules and regulations strictly. But if we want to follow every single rule and regulation, then we'll have to maybe wait for our next life so we can get born in such a situation because we're not qualified to follow. Therefore, Harar Nama, Harar Nama, Harar Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiram. In this age of Kali, the actual religious principle is chanting the holy names. That is the religious principle which makes everything perfect, as stated in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Sadhya Sadhana Tattva, Jikichu Shokam, Harinam Sankirtane Nilegeshukam. All the sadhya and sadhana, what is the goal of life and how to attain it, all the rules and regulations there are made perfect and complete simply by the chanting of the holy names. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he gave the idea. Everything is complete by chanting of the holy names. Sarvananta Sarna, Ishastrama. All the mantras of the Vedas, the essence is there in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So, sometimes people take that to mean, again, they go to the other extreme. In following rules and regulations, there are extremes. Niyama Agraha. One is Niyama Agraha, not to accept any rules and regulations. And the other is Niyama Agraha, to be too much enthusiastic for rules and regulations without understanding the purpose behind them. So either extreme is not good for Krishna consciousness. If we become too much concerned with rules and regulations without understanding the purpose behind them, then we simply become like something like a military commander, which we're just watching all the rules and regulations. What is the purpose? The purpose is, what is the purpose of all the rules and regulations? Who can say? Smartavya Sadatam Vishnu. Vismartavya Najatachit. Sarva Vidhi Nishita Shakitiya Eva Kankara. All the rules and regulations, there's actually two things. One is to always remember Krishna, another is never to forget him. And all the rules and regulations in the Shastra, they're the servants of these two rules, which is actually one rule. Because if you remember Krishna, then you don't forget him. So if we forget that and we simply become too much concerned with rules and regulations, then we miss the point. In English there's a saying, you can't see the wood for the trees. You're so much concerned with the details that you can't see the overall picture. Then again, if we come to the other side, niyama agraha, not to follow any rules and regulations. You say, oh, we shouldn't be too strict with rules and regulations. Okay, no rules and regulations. Just like in Bengal, it's very common, people they say, if you chant Hare Krishna, then you don't need to do anything else. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, there's no rules and regulations in chanting Hare Krishna. Okay, no rules and regulations. Okay, we'll do everything. We'll eat fish, eat meat. We'll chant Hare Krishna and everything okay. But that's also not correct. Because if we're eating fish, for instance, then that goes against the principle of bhakti. It is causing unnecessary violence to us. Ati hinsa. Unnecessary violence. So where to follow? Where is the balance? And we may be confused. How many rules and regulations should we follow? How many not? Then we come to the point, just like here, Swayambhu Manu. He's giving instruction to Dhruva Maharaj. He is expert in teaching according to time, place, and circumstance. So the point is that we have to take guidance from Acharya. Acharya means one who is expert in understanding the rules and regulations of scriptures. What is the point behind them? And he himself follows and teaches exactly all the rules and regulations that are meant to bring us to Krishna consciousness. And there are so many rules and regulations in Shastra. So which to follow so that we can come to Krishna consciousness, that we have to see according to Acharya. Now, of course, in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the founder Acharya is Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was very concerned that in every time International Society for Krishna Consciousness is written, again underneath it is written founder Acharya, his divine grace and his divine Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada, he is special emissary of Lord Krishna. His coming and teaching Bhagavatam is predicted in the Bhagavatam by Vyas. If you see, that's that verse, Tadvag Visargo Janatada Viplavo Yasmin Priti Shloka Mabadavati. That takes a little time to analyze, but anyway, this verse, it predicts the preaching of Bhagavatam to cause a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. So this refers to Prabhupada. There's no one before him preached Bhagavatam among the sinful people to make a wholesale change in their lives. And in so many ways, Prabhupada is predicted like that in Shastra is coming. So he has formed the International Society for Krishna Consciousness on the basis of understanding Krishna, especially through Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So exactly how should we follow? He has given. Do like this, do like this, do like this. And it is predicted that Krishna conscious movement will go on for 10,000 years. Prabhupada said that my books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. So in the Krishna conscious movement, there's no confusion. Simply, as Prabhupada taught, we follow. That's all. In this way, as the worldwide family of Krishna consciousness increases and spreads, then how Prabhupada taught exactly, suitable for the modern age, all the rules and regulations that we try to follow nowadays, it's not possible. You have to take only well water. Then how are you going to find? You don't have to go in the desert and drill a hole and the government will come and wonder, what are you doing? Go back to your country. Anyway, you don't have time to go out to the desert and drill a hole. You have hardly enough time to chant 16 rounds Hare Krishna working too. So exactly how to follow, that we have to take from Acharya. And that may also require some adjustment according to time, place and circumstance. Just like here, living in the desert, in this town built in the desert, having to work, and we can't follow exactly strictly as in a temple, strict temple. So as much as possible, adjustment has to be there. But we cannot expect everything so much strict, but as much as possible. So that requires little common sense, how to apply the instructions we receive from our child. That also requires little common sense, how to do them. As Prabhupada wrote in one letter, someone had written to Prabhupada with so many questions, little details. Should we do this? Should we do that? Should we do this? Should we do that? So Prabhupada, in his letter, he replied to three or four of these questions. And then afterwards he wrote that in all these little things, you should just use your common sense. And if you don't have any, ask someone who has. So like this. It requires a little intelligence. What should we do? Anyway, only that we may do, adjust according to time, place, circumstance. But in any major issue, we see here, Swayambhu Manu is advising to Dhruva Maharaj to stop fighting. So this isn't a matter of small thing, whether you should eat carrots or not. It's a major point. So Swayambhuva Manu is giving instruction and on the major point, how to behave. So Dhruva Maharaj, he is accepting his instruction as a good follower. So in the same way, on the minor points, whether we should have Mangalarti at 4:15 or 4:30 or whatever time, that we may adjust if we don't have direct contact with our acharya. We may adjust here, there, little things like this. But even little things, it's best to see exactly how Prabhupada wanted us to do, because if we adjust a little bit here, a little bit there, it may become quite different. So it's better to see exactly. But especially major points, we have to consult our acharya, our lesson. Then Prabhupada isn't here now. But then Prabhupada, he has come to teach as is not just an individual, but he's following in parampara. And parampara is continuing. So we can continue to receive instruction. Personal instruction is also required. Books are there, personal instruction is also required. So you see here Dhruva Maharaj, we can understand that as a kshatriya, he's also not unaware of the Shastra Vidhi as a pious religious king. He also knows, but even then, personal instruction is required, and he's getting that from Swayambhuva Manu. So, books are there. We should read Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada's books are the basis of this movement. Books are the basis, especially Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada is even the essence of Shastra. There are so many Shastras, hundreds and thousands of Shastras. As Prabhupada said once in one lecture, if anyone was to sit down today and start to read all the Vaishnava Shastras, and he read one, and he started another one, and in this way he went on all his life, he couldn't finish. So many Shastras. And now many of these are being translated into English, mostly in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. They are in Sanskrit and in Bengali. But of course there are books in other Sampradayas, which are also bona fide Vaishnava books, mostly in Sanskrit. So many of these are being translated now into English. One devotee in particular is translating many, many books. But you can't read all of them. You may select, having read all of Prabhupada's books, you may select one book, another book. You can't, unless like that you sit down and you only read. So then you see Prabhupada's books, so many books to read. See that old shelf of books, Prabhupada's books. If you're going to read, it will take much time. So, that also should not be avoided. If you look at that set of books, and you think, oh, that's too much. Not too much. You should read half an hour a day, 1 hour a day, whatever time you can get. At least some time. Read slowly, slowly. As it is said, many drops wear away a stone. You see where the drop, 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 drop. One drop of water doesn't wear away the stone, but gradually, in a period of time, the stone, some depression comes in because the water is wearing away the stone. So similarly, if we go on gradually, we start reading Bhagavatam, first canto. If we go on regularly, the time will come when we'll come, we've finished, we've read through the whole Bhagavatam. But actually, we haven't finished because you can never finish. Reading Bhagavata. It's not like some novel that you pick up, read it, finished, okay, throw it away, get another one. In Bhagavata, you can go on reading throughout our life, life after life, again and again and again. I want to speak also to Chandra Charitamrita now, see, we have these conversations. They're also very nice, we can read. That's not so essential, it's more like reference for Bhagavata. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion. These books especially, they are essential. Prabhupada wrote in one purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, giving special emphasis to these four books. Actually, he said, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So these books are essential. It's also very, very nice to read this Prabhupada Dinamrita, which shows us the life of an Acharya, exactly how Prabhupada was acting, living, preaching, how to actually apply, we can see from the life of the Acharya, how to actually apply the principles in our day-to-day life. How Prabhupada was instructing different people in different circumstances. What is the character of a pure devotee? Now actually in Bombay it's been printed in one volume. It's 6 volumes of Prabhupada Lilamrita, and yet in one volume. So I would suggest to all, everyone should, all devotees, they should get Prabhupada Lilamrita, this full set of Bhagavatams. Especially now, living here, you'll have some Lakshmi. So for $100 you can get full set of Bhagavatams. 3,000 rupees, something like that. So it's a great privilege. We have the Bhagavatam in our home. That you can get in Bombay now, in print. Full set. So these books, Prabhupada used to say, the books are the basis of this movement. From the books we get so much full information, an encyclopedia of spiritual knowledge in Prabhupada's books. So that especially, we're all very much educated. Modern education teaches us how to become first class ass, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, what is that? He says, Jara Vidya Jato Maya Vaibhav Tomar Bhajane Bhadha Mahajanamiya Anitya Shamsari Jeevke Kare Gada. He says that his material knowledge is simply a display of Maya. And it's an obstruction in worshipping of you, Krishna. In this material world, which is temporary anyway, it's just another, it increases our illusion and makes us into a big ass. Just like we think we're very intelligent. Just like the ass is carrying big weights, which are no value to him. But he thinks, if I don't carry, I can't get my grass, because my owner gives me grass. Well, grass is available everywhere. So in the same way, we carry huge weights of unnecessary information in our brain, because we think, unless I have MSc, PhD, then I can't get a job, I can't live, which is incorrect. So real knowledge is Shastra Vidhi. What is it? Real knowledge is given in Shastra. Philosophy, rules and regulations, understanding Krishna. This is real knowledge. And Prabhupada, even though the Shastra is vast, he has summarized it. All information is there. All the knowledge of spiritual life is there in Prabhupada's books. So books are the basis means we should, as Prabhupada was saying one time in one lecture in Vrindavan, he was saying we should make Srimad Bhagavatam our life. It means we should read Srimad Bhagavatam. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Preach to others Srimad Bhagavatam. Distribute Srimad Bhagavatam. Follow the directions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tat Shunvan Supatan Vicharana Paro Bhaktyavuna Chandra. This Bhagavatam itself is that same direction. To hear, read, follow Bhagavatam, and in this way become liberated, go back to Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Mamalam Yan Vaishnavanam. Bhagavat itself says that the Bhagavatam, it is the spotless Purana.